Okay, everyone, it is 1:15. I invite you all to sit down. I was going to say, let's sit back, relax, and talk about stress and anxiety, but I didn't want y'all to think that I was making light of a very real problem in our classrooms. And so we have two great speakers today to talk to us about what teachers are dealing with in our classrooms and how school districts and charter schools can accommodate them under the ADA. Speaking today are Julie Leahy and Jacob Woolston. Julie, I don't think needs much of an introduction, but she has been with the Texas Classroom Teachers Association for 20 years. She serves as their Director of Legal Services. She is my go-to gal whenever I have a question about legislation or any teacher-facing law that I just need somebody to noodle on. And Julie, at the risk of ruining your street cred amongst us lawyers, y'all, she's really nice. She is a nice, nice person, and she's just a wealth of knowledge on all things teacher. We also have Jacob. Jacob Woolston is the general counsel at Pflugerville ISD. He has been practicing school law since 2021 and is new to the UTCLE school conference, so y'all be sweet and kind to him. He also gets a gold star because his bio made me laugh out loud by myself in my office. So gold star for making me sound like a fool. Y'all read it on your off time. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all for having us here today. We're going to be talking about accommodating anxiety, stress, and related conditions in today's classroom environment with service animals. So what we're going to do is we're going to start out, I'm going to talk a little bit about establishing an impairment and disability and how that works in the arena of anxiety and stress, because that's the employee's burden to show those issues. And then we will turn it over to Jacob when we start talking about considering the accommodations request, how a district should approach these issues and the issues that might come up. And then since we were specifically asked to talk about service animals, we will use that as kind of the case study to show how the analysis applies and how the reasonable accommodations should be considered and how that applies in the context of emotional support and service animals. So when I was initially asked to do this presentation, I was told that we want to talk about bright lines and best practices. And my response to Paige, who was the person who, Paige Williams was the person who recruited me, was to say, there are no bright lines in the ADA. And she very respectfully and kindly told me that she thought perhaps the planning committee wanted me to try a little bit harder than that. So I went back and decided, let's start from the basics. Okay, well, there are some bright lines in the ADA. It's just we don't think about them very often because they're embedded in the very heart of the ADA. And the first bright line is that, yes, in fact, mental health is included in the definition of a disability. Okay, so when we talk about the ADA, it by its very definition includes mental or physical disabilities. Now, the three things that we have to think about when we talk about the ADA, obviously you have to have a mental or physical impairment, which means that you must have an impairment. And that impairment must substantially limit a major life activity. That's ADA 101. But that's where we're going to start because it contains one of our good bright lines. The next bright line is that mental disorders are explicitly included in the regulations, in the definition of impairment. So we've met prong number one. It's included in the definition of disability. Mental disorders are also included in the definition of impairment, which is prong number two for meeting the requirements of coverage under the ADA. An impairment includes a mental or psychological disorder. Okay, there you go. Now, I will say, I think most, Jacob, and you can, I think you'll probably agree with me on this, I get very little pushback from school districts over whether or not something is an impairment. And as a practical matter, there's very little litigation on the issue of what constitutes an impairment. Basically, if a doctor says you've got it, most, I think, school districts are willing to accept that that's at least an impairment.
Yeah, I think definitely the disabilities and impairment are so broadly defined that most of us probably have a disability or an impairment. And if you don't, you can probably find a doctor that says you do. So we do not push back on that much
yes.
at all.
Where we start getting a little bit more diffuse is the issue of whether or not it